Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's very clear just from talking to guys throughout, you know, the clubhouse, the organization, the eyes are on the finish line at this point. You know, just get to the end of the season, regroup, see what happens from there. Because, I mean, they've just been dealt one weird and now more recently awful, terrible, you know, inexplicable thing after another. So I think some guys are as much mentally and emotionally worn down by it as anything physically.
There was certainly, a lot of us felt, Adam, a house cleaning in order baseball-wise before any of this nastiness came out. But now it almost feels like the Pirates, more than ever before, need to do something to express to fans that, hey, we've got to get you back on our side. Does that heighten, you think, their desire, if there's one at all, to make big franchise-altering moves?
I don't necessarily think that they're in that place right now. I mean, I have a tough time, honestly, with connecting anything with Felipe here to anything on the baseball side or anything related to the team. What's happened this week has been the actions of a very, you know, clearly apparently disturbed and sick person that, you know, you can't connect to Bob Nutting, Frank Cunnelly, Neil Huntington, anybody on down. But from a PR perspective, I do agree that, you know, the play on the field, the fact that, hey, there's one, what we thought was an exciting player who you're no longer going to be able to watch, or in this case, trade, you know, what do you do from a PR perspective? What's your message to get people to care? And I do think that's why, whether it's personnel changes or just top-to-bottom reevaluation, they do need to approach this offseason that way. Hey, what are we doing here? What are we selling to fans? Why are we trying to get them out to the ballpark? What are we selling them, not only for the present now, but for the future? And I do think it does need to be that kind of full-scale reevaluation. It probably just hasn't necessarily set in yet, as I think people are still kind of trying to wrap their minds around everything that happened and everything that's come out and everything that's still coming out as it relates to Felipe Vasquez.
Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorty Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and North Hills. To follow that up just a little bit here, as you know, I've born and bred Pittsburgher, been in this town my whole life. I love this town. I love that team, and I feel like it's a civic entity as much as it is a baseball team. I think that there should be full scale, this guy needs to go, that guy needs to go, this guy needs to go, but also a reset and almost a rebranding. I don't know if you could change logos or maybe a secondary logo. I don't know if you paint the stadium a different color. It needs to feel like when you walk in there opening day, feels like a different new era in a new baseball team, Adam.
Right. It's new messaging, basically. And it's a new promise and a new sort of renewed trust with the fan base, because that trust has been broken over the last couple of years. And, you know, I cannot blame anybody for feeling that way. You know, the last couple of years, you can say baseball-wise, things have gone wrong and some of their bets haven't played out. But this year, it's been the fights in the clubhouse, probably fans feeling like they can't necessarily trust her, you know, in this most recent case, like the players, based on some of the things that, you know, maybe you don't know about them, what's going on, and you know, you think you can like this guy, and then all of a sudden he's not there. So I tend to agree with you. Maybe it doesn't have to be anything that dramatic, but it needs to be sort of a come clean, you know, this is where we're at, this is what we're doing, this is why we need you to trust us right now moment. But to do that,
and there goes Adam. Oh, he's back.
Has not been worth trusting. Yeah. So
we lost you for just a second, Adam. I apologize. Oh, okay. Let me ask you this. When you look at what this team was able to do, and this is a comparison that Neil Huntington has made several times and really hit on big back in mid to late August. When you look back at what this team did in 2012 to 2013, they latched on to some things that they were able to use to their advantage that other teams still weren't recognizing. Things like pitch framing behind the plate, things like shifting on defense. If they're really, truly capable of making a leap back into contention in 2020 like they did in 2013, what are those things going to be? It doesn't feel like there's anything out there for them to discover that other teams around baseball haven't already discovered. In fact, it feels like they're behind the curve in some respects.
To a certain extent, I think we talked about this a week or two ago, that they've kind of caught up on the hitting side of it. They need better pitching. I mean, that's not necessarily anything that they're doing strategy-wise. Like, they know how to throw the fastball up in the zone. They know how to throw off-speed stuff. You know, you've seen Musgrove do it. You'll probably see Musgrove do it today. They need better pitchers. It's talent acquisition. That's what they need. They need a better development system, guys coming out who are going to make a higher impact. It's, you know, their technology guys are just as smart as they were in 2013-15. You know, they're up on the trends. Neil Huntington is very much like a smart, dedicated baseball guy that he keeps up with everything. He knows what's going on. They just need better talent to execute it. They need better management to get those players out there. And you know, right now, I just think if you stack them up on a talent-for-talent basis, it's not there. That's the issue. You know, go and it starts with pitching. Go look at the 13, 14, 15 teams and find me a 4 ERA. Now look at this year's team and find me a 3 ERA. I mean, that's essentially what it comes down to, is better pitching. And you know, that's a talent evaluation. That's a draft and develop evaluation. You know, we just don't see it right now. Some of these guys are going to be better, but are they going to be good enough to make that seismic jump from 2012 to 2013? It's kind of hard to see right now, but, you know, that's what they need to figure out heading into this offseason. To me, it starts there. It starts with pitching.
Do they have untouchables in the trade market, or essentially guys that won't hit the trade market because they are untouchable?
I think it depends on where they're going this offseason, what direction they decide to go in, whether you know, because the problem now with the idea of rebuilding is your best chip was Felipe, and now obviously there's nothing you can do there, so who do you even have to trade that you could restart this thing over with? In that case, to me, the untouchables would still be Bell, Reynolds. I mean, I wouldn't trade Marte, but if you are going to rebuild, sure, go ahead, see what you can get for him, because he's a really good impact player as long as he's healthy. Those are the guys to me. Those are the guys that maybe you can build this next core around, but is the next core going to be within Josh Bell's contract tenure? I don't know. And if you decide it's not going to be, see if you can get something for him while you can, if that's the direction that you decide to go in with a rebuild.
I know Josh Bell and Starling Marte probably want to get back on the field a couple more times before the end of this season, but is it worth anything at all to this organization to risk them, or should they just simply be saying to them at this point, listen, you're on the shelf, let's just call it a year, and go take care of your healthy off season, as they call it, and be ready to go come February?
You definitely don't want to risk them, but you also do, if they feel up to it, get them back on the field. Get them back on the field, let them play a couple of games, let them feel good about the way that they finished the season. It really stinks, especially for Josh Bell, you know, 3 homers short of 40 home runs. If he can get out there and pinch hit and try to hit a couple into the river that last homestand, you know, I think that'd be kind of a nice way for him to go out. It's also terrible for Marte, who in a lot of ways had one of his best seasons, especially offensively this year, that he's not going to be able to get that games played total, you know, look like that dependable center fielder that he really wanted to be, just with the way things have gone here with the sprained wrist. But it's certainly not worth risking it. You know, you can evaluate your Reynolds in center field and the guys that are going to run out in the outfield, and look at Jose Osuna at first base, because he's, you know, potentially the kind of guy you look at on the bench next season. He's had a pretty good year overall offensively. You know, he's a good defender. At this point, don't rush him back. Don't risk injury. It's not worth doing that. But if they feel healthy enough, sure, get him out there. Same thing with Jacob Stallings. It's good for them to go out into the offseason feeling healthy and feeling like, hey, I finished the season as a baseball player, not a rehabber.
Will Kyle Crick be part of the 2020 Pittsburgh Pirates?
Probably, yeah. I mean, at this point, he is still, I mean, based on what we saw last year and the first half of this season, one of their higher potential bullpen arms. And, I mean, now they probably need as many of them as they can get. If you're looking at a bullpen, again, if they go status quo and bring back most of this team, it's Keone Kella closing, Richard Rodriguez setting up, and then maybe Kyle Crick as your bounce-back potential seventh-inning guy. That to me feels like the most likely outcome at this point, is them rolling the dice and bringing them back and hoping the clubhouse issues have, taken care of themselves and run their course.
Same thing with the rotation then, other than Tyone being unavailable, basically Archer, Musgrove, Williams, Broughton, Keller, I guess. Is that what we're going into next year with?
Yeah, maybe Cool. Although, I mean, there's a lot of people around the organization and with the team who still think Cool could be a really high-end bullpen type guy as well, if that's where he decides to go coming back from Tommy John. And then maybe, you know, your Jordan Lyles 2.0, you know, your Edinson Volquez, your Francisco Liriano 2020. That seems to be the market where they're shopping. You know, I don't necessarily have the names in front of me right now, but somebody like a Michael Wacha coming off kind of a rough year, but some potential that he's shown in the past might make sense. You know, one of those lower-end, back-end type guys who could maybe move the bullpen. If a Mitch Keller really steps forward and Chris Archer looks good and Trevor Williams bounces back and, you know, Joe Musgrove and blah, 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 if all that stuff happens, then, you know, maybe you don't need to roll with that guy in the rotation. But, yeah, I would expect those are the names there that you mentioned.
So Ryu's not coming here?
You know, I don't see it.
Got it.
I don't see Garrett bringing his talents to Pittsburgh either at this point.
Gotcha.
He's going to be a very wealthy, happy man wherever he goes.
Well, enjoy the ballpark today. You know what? I will say this, though, as an aside. And you are not a native Western Pennsylvanian, although you've been here long enough that you know what this place is all about. This has been, amidst all this bad news, the greatest 20-day stretch of weather in Western Pennsylvania ever, I think, Adam.
It's been incredible the last couple of days. Like, since we got back from Chicago, I'm like, wow, okay, I just want to be outside. So there is that. You can't complain about being outside or even being at the ballpark. So we got that going
for
us.
There you go.
Yeah, so enjoy that and enjoy the last couple days of Steve Blass. Not in his life, but as a commentator, because there's never been a man that's more pleasant and funny to be around.
Yeah, I tuned in for a moment to the broadcast last night just because I figured he'd be telling Clemente stories. And the one he told about the pelican and the fish hook and the pelican, you know, defecating all over Roberto Clemente and him narrating it, it's just hilarious. You can't find that anywhere else.
No, you can't.
It's going to be missed.
Yes. Well, thank you much, Adam. We'll talk again soon.
All right. See you guys.
See you, Adam.
Thank you much. Yeah. I mean, that's lost in all this, too. This is a celebratory time for Blass. And if nothing else, that's what it is, this last run for the Pirates. Just laugh with Blass. You don't laugh at him, you laugh with him.
No.
He can make everybody in the world laugh with him. And I think that's, when I describe Steve Blass, he can meet a stranger and you laugh with him.
If there's anybody that can bring a little bit of joy to the last couple of weeks of this season, you know, if there's anything, any joy left in it anymore, Steve can do it.
Like when he was at that fancy banquet in front of all those people, like the Clemente Museum or wherever he was, and he's like, yeah, you know, my first baseball pants, I ruined them because I just, you know, went to the bathroom with myself. And they're like, he just doesn't care. I love it. He's the best.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.